Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
It's On Set Hotline, where we find the PG and 93.7 The Fan's Jason Mackey. Jason will be pulling double duty as a guest today, but then he'll be hosting after I am done at 6 o'clock. Jason, I'll start you with this. Here's my hypothesis. Pirates are 52-30. They are in dire straits. You might say that with their offseason acquisitions, they have, in fact, spent money for nothing, if I'm going to keep the pun going here. And I would say that the person most responsible is Bob Nutting, but it's not because of a lack of spending so much as it is a complete amount of indecisiveness as to how to handle Ben Cherington's continued employment and otherwise. So what say you about the way the owner really has handled his personnel and his front office since the end of last year?
Yeah, I mean, they're kind of brothers in arms, Chris. I love the Mark Knopfler reference, man. That was awesome. Bob is wrong. He's wrong in his decision here. They should have had a clean slate this offseason. You could have gone in a different direction, and now what he's doing with Ben Cherington makes absolutely no sense. You're going to allow the guy to run another draft, to run another trade deadline. He's done neither successfully. This team is going to finish probably with fewer wins than last year unless something crazy happens. That's year six. I don't know how you don't can the guy then, and you're wasting what are you doing here? You know, they haven't addressed the offense in any meaningful way. I think it's a very important pivot point for them to try to get some of these guys on expiring contracts, trade them, and get something back to try to recalibrate this thing for 2026. I have no idea. I can't offer you a logical explanation. I disagree with it just as much.
Yeah, well, certainly we're not watching the Sultans of Swing when this team is at bat, and I think that's actually all I've got left here on the dire straits front. Just hypothetically, because we had a caller ask this, and I was trying to workshop in my brain if Cherington had been just fired abruptly here the same time Shelton had been, and you weren't going to go and hire a random former GM to just on an interim basis, somebody who's had experience basically with the deadline and just knows how to work the phones. Jason, like, say you didn't do that if you were Bob Nutting, hypothetically. Who would have run their trade deadline if they had fired Ben Cherington and presumably fired at least a handful of his lieutenants in the process?
I think Kevin Graves probably would have been that guy. And I don't think they would have had much of a trade deadline, Chris. And they still might not. But to your question, I think Kevin Graves is probably that guy. He was the interim the last time around. The other one I'd look at would be Steve Sanders. And I like both of those guys. I don't think they're bad people or bad employees or anything like that. I just think that if you would go the interim route, I think the idea is to just kind of like, all right, let's make the moves we have to make. Don't do anything huge. I just worry about, you know, how much Ben's being limited right now. Like, what other reason do you have to not go get a bat when your offense is clearly the issue? And if you're limiting the GM, why are you employing him? There's a bunch of stuff I don't understand.
Jason Mackey of the PG and 93.7 The Fan joining us. Let's talk actual trades that they could make. Bob Nightingale, who'll be on this show later today with me, Jason, floating that the Cubs are very much interested in both Mitch Keller and David Bednar. We both don't agree about Cherington getting to run this deadline, but that ship sailed. How long do you think he'll try to hang on to these guys, given that it's a seller's market? Or do you think there's a chance, that Cherington might trade them sooner rather than later if somebody's actually willing to make him an offer, a big-time offer?
I mean, a big-time offer, yeah. I think he would be forced to consider that. It doesn't make sense for Ben to hold on to those guys. I think he'd probably prefer it not happen in the division. If, you know, with the Cubs being the team, like, if you can, if all things are equal and you can send them somewhere else, I think that would be preferable. But, you know, Mitch is a starting pitcher making $16 million. For the rest of Major League Baseball, that's not a lot of money. For the Pirates, it is, and they can backfill with younger guys in the minor leagues. I want to believe it's real. I want to believe that he can be the two-time All-Star that he was. At this point, I'm probably going to hedge my bets with him making 5.9 that, you know, I'm going to cash in and try to build my bullpen another way.
Well, even if he is the two-time All-Star, like, I would go back to this. They made this mistake with him once already. A two-time All-Star closer, a guy who flashes that form on a team that's probably going to lose between 95 and 100 games if current trends persist, is extremely useless. I don't care if he's from Mars, PA or not. Like, he's much more valuable to you as a trade piece. That's why I would hope he regains and continues, I guess, his consistent form of late, because I would want to trade him. I have no designs on keeping a player like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I they shouldn't. I agree with you. The only argument, the only counter argument I'd make is if they fashion themselves as contenders in 2026, which honestly they should, and they should make more aggressive moves to pursue that, then it does help to have a back-end reliever. I just, you know, you got to make the other moves first before Bednar becomes a serious consideration.
Who else is guaranteed to be gone that's currently on this roster by the time the trade deadline comes and goes, Jason?
Heaney, IKF. Bailey Falter intrigues me. I'm not saying he's guaranteed to be gone, but I bet teams call and ask about him. It makes a lot of sense. Ke'Bryan Hayes is a wild card. I know there's no bat, but you can stomach no bat if you're the Yankees and you take advantage of the defense. He's in the maybe category for me, but definite to be gone, Chris. Andrew Heaney, IKF. There was one more. I was saying probably Frazier. I think you could flip him for something very, very minor, and it makes sense for them. But those are my sure bets.
Is it guaranteed that Keller and Bednar are both gone, in your opinion? Like, where would they slot in on that list of players you just gave me?
No, they're maybes for me. They're maybes for me. I think the Pirates will talk about them. I think they'd be open to it. I think it's going to take a lot of return. To me, they're in the category of Hayes. You know, it's a different ingredient with Hayes, because Hayes, you need somebody to like them. People are going to like Keller and Bednar. It's just whether the value matches up with the Pirates, if that makes sense.
I have another question for you before I let you go, Jason. Connor Griffin tearing it up already, jumps from A ball this year up to high A ball, and high A ball so far has provided little resistance. He's basically throwing up the same, if not better, numbers there across the board. He might be, it seems like on paper, the rare, very precocious prospect coming up through this system. Do you think the Pirates might break from what I think has been tradition dating back to Huntington, where they slow roll a lot of these guys and you don't see a 19 or 20-year-old Mike Trout making his big league debut? If Griffin keeps this up, do you think he could get to Double-A by the end of the year and be a true fast-track major leaguer?
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You know what, Chris? I do. And here's why I think that. Because that's how they treated Paul Skeens and Jared Jones. I don't like what they've done with Bubba Chandler, but they have shown the willingness that if a guy shows he's ready, to move him quicker and give him the opportunities. And Connor Griffin has shown that. I agree with you. Double A would be the ideal spot for me. He finishes at Double A. I don't think he'd get a lot of time at Double A. Sometimes you see them promote a guy for like the final week. But if he makes good on everything he's doing, man, it wouldn't surprise me in the least. I think that's probably their goal. And yes, so they will fast track him.
Well, I would think, before we let you go, I would think if they are trying to find better players for next year, because they're still going to try to build around Paul Skeens, and we know finances are always going to be a consideration, a guy who can step in and play in your outfield immediately and is going to be as literally cheap as a player can be financially, who might also be your instant best athlete and overall player, like if he delivers on his promise, that would seem to me to be a pretty attractive thing to them, even if it means he's going to hit free agency when he's 25 years old.
I mean, absolutely, man. I don't have any problem with that at all. If he shows he can do it, do it. Seriously, I mean, he's just very young. You know, he's right out of high school. He was a younger high school kid. He just got to high A not long ago. Get him to Double A. If you can get him to the majors next year, do it. You know, keep feeding him more stuff. He's an exceptionally mature kid. All of that is way down the road, and you know that, and I know that, and listeners know
Jason,
that.
Jason, this is all I have. This is all I have right now with these guys. It's all I've got is watching a 19-year-old kid they just drafted rip up the minor leagues, and we're in year six of Ben Cherington saying that. Jeff Passan, I know, is coming on with you later tonight. What time?
I know, 6:30. We're going to have, and you have Nightingale. We have the night of the baseball insiders. Must listen
right.
For Pittsburgh sports fans.
Oh, Passan's going to be lobbing bombs. I know he will be. That's what Passan does. Nightingale. Bob, well, he'll go after it. He'll kind of get the subtle digs in. He's more of a hidden inside left-hand punch. And then, you know, Passan's winding up and throwing that, he's throwing the windmill punch at somebody.
Yeah, I look forward to it. I look forward to it. So it's going to be some good radio.
Thank you, Jason.
All right, thank you, Chris. Later, man.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.